This morning, our topical message that we are going to be considering is on the church, and particularly what we as the local church do. What does it do? So I ask you the question as we stop here and think, first time in our new building, but certainly, can I go from slide to slide with this? This is that one? There we go. As we start here this Sunday in our new building, this is not by far our first Sunday meeting. We have now been operating as an assembly for 8 years, and we have, over the course of 8 years, engaged in and added to a number of programs, ministries. There is a number of things that we have done over the years. So, those of you, this is a nice little start into our conversation, because this is a pretty easy question. So, those that are, yes, Dan's got his hand up right away. You can tell us what's Sunday school that's appropriate, coming from our Sunday school superintendent. Yeah, right from the very beginning. That was a ministry that we felt we would participate in, and even with the little numbers we had right from the very beginning, we started in Sunday school. And I think we still have, I think Alana and Leslie have both, and Trudy, and that's it. All three of those ladies have actually been teaching Sunday school at MABF since we started. So yeah, Sunday school has been a ministry that we have been committed to right from day one. Anything else? Yes, Andrew. Missions. Yes, we have, as an assembly, we support multiple missionaries. We send gifts of fellowship, $400, $500 every month to our missionaries of the month. We have missionary reports, just like we had last Thursday, Sid Hall's band. So yeah, certainly we have engaged in missions. What else from an evangelistic quote? Yeah, Thomas. Breaking of Bread, another ministry that we have been engaged in, another service that we enjoy. At the start of the beginning of each week, we come together for 1 hour to break bread, the Lord's Supper. Anything else? What else do we... Youth group. Youth group is something that was an addition at MABF. We didn't start with youth group right out of the gate because we didn't have really any... we didn't have any candidates in that specific age range. Our children were all very young, but as they have grown, there was a need. And so for the last, 4 years, 5 years, I think we've done youth. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Naomi, yes, we have a seniors brunch. That's a seniors brunch that has been used as an evangelistic for 3 to 4 seniors brunches a year we do. Anita and who else has been involved in that? Naomi and Kelly. Anyone else? Susan Crow, not here. Sue Snooks, yes. Number of ladies, and it's been fantastic. They've been able to get people from the seniors home. I think that's why we see Bruce here. I think that was our first contact with Bruce, was through those senior brunches. So that has been what a good ministry that has been. And even just having Bruce here week in after week is fruit from that ministry. And so that's a good work we do at MABF. What else do we do at MABF? Yes, Kelly. Small group studies, yes, right from the beginning. And I would say it is particularly the women who have a ministry with small group studies for a couple years now. There's two different studies to cover off the to allow women that work to come, and that's been quite a good time among the women with in-depth, inductive ladies' Bible studies, yes. Anything else? Yes, Josh. Prayer meetings. Again, right from the very beginning, we have felt it important. That is actually how Mark reminded us this morning. Before we even formally became MABF, we started with a prayer and Bible study. That's right. I remember one of the first books we did. We did Ephesians, and now we've done Ephesians on Sunday mornings. I think we did something from the Old Testament, but I can't remember. Pardon? 1 Corinthians, that's right, we did 1 Corinthians. So we did, we came together as a small group of people in this area even before MABF came to exist, even before this church was planted. Yes, that's right. Anything else? Sarah? Bible camp, kids club, absolutely. We have, and starting again now that we have our building, we've had a hiccup the last couple of years. We haven't been able to have it because the town has decided to use all the facilities for their own camp. But kids club has been a tremendous way to reach the community. I know for a fact that a number of families that we were able to welcome in our kids club, they aren't going here on a regular basis. They did not come to MABF, but I know a number of at least two families that are going to Hillside as a result of their children being part of the kids club. So that's a ministry, that's an evangelistic outreach that we've been involved in. Anything else? Thomas? Men's breakfast, the men get together on a quarterly basis, pray, devotion, bit of a business meeting, and a breakfast, and neither Alana or Brian are here, but I think we continue to have them in their house. We'll let Brian know that that the breakfasts are going to stay there. They're always so good. That's true. Not after... I guess that's where I'm coming from. I don't want to set that thing off with the men cooking. Okay, anything else? Yes, Kelly. That was very good. If you remember, those that began the week or 2 weeks before we started, we canvassed the entire town. Everybody in the community of Mount Albert received a Bible and received a pamphlet explaining this new work that was started. As a result of this new work started, the Hammonds started attending and baptized and came into fellowship as a result of this new work. I think Dan and Trudy, not that they weren't going anywhere else before, but had been on a bit of a hiatus and got involved with MABF. So, yeah, that's another important thing that we have done. Again, that falls under the work of evangelism. Anything else? Or how about retreats? We've done retreats as an assembly a number of times. We've been to Guelph. We've been to Fair Havens. Yes. Family gym night. Yeah, we were involved in that. That was another really good. That morphed and changed into a real community. We were getting a number of kids from the community for that. That was a good work we did for a few years. Is it not working anymore? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Pardon. The calendars. That's right. We teamed up and did another door-to-door with all the calendars. MABF, we took several pictures, had them developed. So that is just and I don't think we've exhausted everything. I'm sure if we think a little harder, there are other things that we as a local assembly have been engaged in. That is what we do. Don't get upset. I know that the church is not a building, but I opened up that door, and inside this door, you can't see it because the door is closed. Now there's a whole bunch of people. So, because we all know that the church is not a building. The church is the people. So no one has to come to me after and say, hey, I have a problem with your second slide. That church is full of people, and we know that is the church. Okay, so that's it. That's basically in a nutshell what we do. Who can I ask to close in prayer? Mike, could you close in prayer? Because that's about it. That is what we do. Mike will always take me up. You got to be careful what you joke around with these days. Okay, so That is pretty simple, and thank you for your participation. And that has answered the question, what we at MABF do. And there, if we were to ask this question in churches within this community or within this province or within this country, within this continent, around this world, there would even be other functions, other ministries that churches do that we've never even considered or thought of. And so at this point in time, I want to follow up with another question. I want to ask you, why? Why do we do, can you hit that slide? Why do we do what we do? Stuck? Oh, we got to get that, yeah. Why do we do these things? All those things that were on there, all these things we just talked about in the last few minutes. Why do we do them? Let me ask you another question. $20 on the line or lunch at my place, whatever you want, for anybody that can stand up and tell me book, chapter, and verse where we see in Scripture we, as a local church, should have youth group. Go. Come on, Todd, where is it? Where is it? Open up that Bible, search it. I want someone to stand up and tell me that can support from a biblical position why we have youth group. Anybody? 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 How about a Sunday school? Where do I find in the Gospels, where do I find a New Testament teaching that we should engage our children in their own age-specific classes? Where does it tell me in the Bible we should have Sunday school? Matthew. So teaching. So teaching we could support from Scripture that we as a local church ought to have teaching, to go and teach. And you could make the argument you're saying, you can broaden that up, that we could then have the liberty and freedom to break that teaching into 8 specific ages. Okay? Okay. Good. Anybody else? Where would I go? Where would I go? We do have one place in the New Testament that does give us a little bit of a synopsis of what the local church should do. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here because we don't have a verse that supports a youth group program. We don't have any specific teaching in the Bible that supports a ladies' Bible study. We don't have any specific teaching in the Bible that says we ought to put a Sunday school together or have something for seniors or have a men's breakfast. There's nothing in Scripture, it's silent, with regards to these things that we do. But there is one verse in the entire Bible. Where were you going? Yep. Now, the context there, though, is spoken to the nation of Israel and to the fathers, and I would come from that verse more to the perspective of that responsibility falls on fathers, no, not so much the local church, but good, you could use that then to argue the church. Yeah, I don't know. Appetizer. Titus, yeah. There is teaching there, certainly, that older women are to teach younger women. Yeah, we have teaching from there, and that we could from there support why we should have a women's ministry, for sure. But there's somewhere more specifically that does give us a bit of a synopsis, a bit of a snapshot on what the local church is to engage in with specific ministries. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 42. So why do we do what we do? Why do we come together at the beginning of each week, have Sunday, have a breaking of bread, have teaching specific for older and younger? Why do we come together at the middle of the week and have a prayer meeting? Why do we get together and do things such as retreats and do things among the ladies, among the men? Because then we see an example of it in the local church. In Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church after Pentecost, we begin to read certain patterns. They begin meeting on the first day of the week, and it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, having said that, and just again to kind of play devil's advocate, I would remind you as you look at Scripture and as you interpret Scripture, it's hard from this passage to make a definitive statement that, okay, Acts 2:42 outlines us the purpose of the local church. This is what we ought to do, and this is what we're going to do from Acts 2:42. There is not a command here. There is not a directive. This is a historical narrative that the first early Christians did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And so today it kind of seems that we here in the local church in 2016, we've held on to that verse, and we can support from Scripture, this is why we do what we do. We have a biblical directive. But you got to be careful because you really don't. And in fact, if that is your argument, I would ask you then, why are we not following verse 30, 45 or verse 44, where they were together, they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had any need. Day by day, they broke bread in their homes, received their food with gladness and generous hearts. Every day they were coming together to break bread, not once a week. When we get to Corinthians, it tells us that as often as you get together, you can break bread. We break bread every Sunday, but young people know this. You're raised up in the assemblies. Don't get the thinking in your head that we have it right as a brethren assembly because we break bread every Sunday. Nowhere in Scripture are we given any direction that that we ought to break bread every single Sunday. There is a lot of strong, Bible-believing, evangelical, strong churches out there that do not break bread every week. It's a distinctive of the brethren assemblies. But we don't have anywhere in Scripture where we can say, this is why we do it. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, they were doing it every day. Paul gets to Corinthians, and he doesn't give a limit. He doesn't give a time. He says, as often as you come together. We hold to a tradition. And we do it once a week. And I think most people here belong to the brethren assembly because that is something we do. I know if I was to move at the British Columbia, I would be looking for a church that wants to come together and break bread every Sunday. I felt this morning was a tremendous time of worship. And I think it is something that I've gotten used to and I enjoy. So I like it. But I can't argue that we do it right and the church that does it once every 3 months tags it on to the end of a service is doing it wrong. That would be very foolish of me. So my point is that there's freedom. When it comes to the local church, there are freedoms we can enjoy. God, by His infinite wisdom, has allowed the churches through the generations to adapt and to do church as they see fit. So we have these programs, we have these ministries, and we have passages in Scripture that some of them they can be used to support why we do. But I've run across people in my lifetime, and people have said, well, you know what, Matt? The purpose of the local church, because that's the next question, what then is the purpose? Is the purpose to do a certain amount of these ministries? Is the purpose of these of the local church just to do the four that are listed in Acts chapter 2? What is the purpose of the local church? I remember growing up in an assembly, and there was a family that only came out every Sunday to the very first service. That's all they came to. Their argument that was that the breaking of bread is the only really true purpose of the New Testament church. They came for the first service and the first service only. That is what they did. I had a conversation a number of years ago before Mount Albert was even started with an elder of an assembly, and he truly believed that the purpose, the single purpose of a local assembly was and is still to this day to evangelize. And he would cite Matthew chapter 28, and he would see, and there's a lot of people in brethren assemblies, that is how they see the church. I have nothing wrong with that. However, I think it's a little narrow-minded and cannot be completely supported from Scripture. I think it is wrong to say that the purpose of the local church is any one of these things we do. I do not see any of these things, the teaching, the breaking of bread, the kids clubs, the outreaches, I would not deem any of those to be the purpose of why we gather as a local church. They are what we do. And so I ask that question then, what is our purpose? Surely our purpose must be more than coming every once in a while and engaging in ministry. So I ask you, think about it. What we've been talking about is what we do. That's what we do. We've been talking about activities that we engage in. But now I'm just asking you to raise the bar a little higher and see if we can narrow it down to really come to terms with why we do what we do. In other words, what is the purpose? What is the principle that defines all these practices? You see, I think you're like me, you fall into a trap and we get caught in the motions. We get caught in the day to day. We start living our lives and realizing we're just doing things without ever really considering why we're doing what we're doing. And that is a dangerous place to be. When I lose focus of why I do what I do, when you lose focus of what you're doing, you are prone to fall. So, can we narrow down and answer this question specifically? What is the purpose of the local assembly? I don't know. I was actually looking that way, but go ahead, Lisa. You can worship the Lord. Very good. Could we sit? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, what were you going to say? I'm looking for a specific word. Mm-hmm. Good. And everyone want to add anything to that? Those were good answers. Lisa's, I like that. Simple, succinct worship. By worshiping God, we give Him the glory. Todd has taken what we have, if you've caught it, if you've read our statement of faith, that is what's in our statement of faith, that we at Mount Albert have a threefold purpose. And I stand behind that document. I was there when we put it into place, and our threefold purpose is first to glorify God, second to build one another out, and third to proclaim the gospel. And Todd is right. But for the scope of this message, what I just really want to focus on, if I had to choose one thing out of those three, what is primarily the single most important purpose of the local church? Because I thought about that a lot this week, and I'm just until the other day, I didn't know how to deliver this message, and really, I've come to terms with it. If you were to say to me, what is the single most important thing that we never lose sight of, the thing that we hold to where everything else will fall into place? It is not that we preach the Word of God. It is not to proclaim the gospel and evangelize. It is not the Lord's Supper. The primary purpose of the local church is to honor the name of Christ and glorify God. And I think you can support that very well from Scripture. And like I said, and I agree with Todd, for this morning, I am bringing this as the primary purpose. But we wouldn't be as close-minded to say that this is it, nothing else. For the scope of our time this morning, this is what I want to consider. And again, the reason why. If we get this right, everything else will fall into place. You with me? Primary purpose of the local church is to honor the name of Christ and to glorify God. Ephesians 3 is where I would get this from. Should be familiar to all of us. We were just there. Ephesians 3:20, we read now to him, this is Paul's second prayer in this letter. I think Bill preached this And it says in verse 20, now to him, that's Christ, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations forever and ever. I therefore, a prisoner of Paul, urge you to walk worthy of the calling which you've been called, with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. This is all about the church. The primary purpose of the church, as Paul unfolds it here in the book of Ephesians, is that with one body, one voice, one mind, and in one accord, we glorify God. That is our purpose. We all on the same page. So then I would say that what we do is secondary. The ministries that we engage in are secondary. And the ministries that we engage in ought to honor the name of Christ and glorify God. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you. Got an amen in the new building. Okay, then. Another question. It's great to say that. I'm not the first one to say this, obviously. We're not the first ones to come to this truth. But now, I ask you, how do we do that? How do we, at MABF, honor the name of Christ and glorify God? I don't know about you, but when you start to talk about these truths, these concepts, they can sometimes just become an esoteric truth. What do I mean by that? I don't know. What I mean by that is it's something we talk about, but we don't really know what we're saying. What does it mean to give God glory? What does it mean in our heart? And more to the point, how does it look? What does it look like to give God glory? Real quickly, and to help you get to a place of understanding, when we talk about God's glory, when we talk about God's glory from Scripture, we need to understand it twofold. First is this. When we read of God's glory in Scripture, it is sometimes referring to his intrinsic glory. In Isaiah chapter 6, what's being referred to in Isaiah chapter 6, Revelation 4, Revelation 5, are all references to God's intrinsic glory. What is that? What is God's intrinsic glory? Well, it's the glory that simply God has in and of himself. It is the sum of all his attributes. It is a glory that he shares with no other. That's God's intrinsic glory. It makes God God, and he will not share it with any other, and we cannot add to it. We think that we, as fallen creatures, can give God more intrinsic glory than we have too low of estimation of God and too high of estimation of ourselves. Intrinsic glory. That which God has in and of himself from being God. But there is also, and we read it in the Psalms, there's what we would refer to as ascribed glory. And ascribed glory is the glory that God receives from his creation. Romans tells us, the creation of this world screams to the glory of God. That ascribed glory is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about intrinsic glory. I don't know, but to me, that kind of helps. But I still ask the question then, what does it mean? How does it look to say, this is where the rubber meets the road. What does it look at MABF with all these things we do, all these ministries that we're engaged in? What should it look like where God receives the glory? Anybody have any thoughts? Now we are getting out of the shallow end, and we are getting into the deep end. Anything else? So our lives, live our lives in holiness. It displays, it gives the glory to God. What were you going to say, Dan? Okay. I like that. Full surrender to Him. Everything we have, the building, everything we do, our ministries, is our gifts from Him. Okay. No, that's really, really good. I like that. I like that. So then, from those two statements, what does that look like then? How does our Sunday school ministry look? How do we know our Sunday school ministry glorifies God and exalts the name of Christ? When we acknowledge that this is His work. Good. That's what you're saying, right? I like it. I like it. That's good. And I like Todd's. Todd, as soon as you said that, reminded me, you did it from a more of an individual perspective. So what Todd said actually reminded me of the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is what? What's the number one question, first question, if you were to read the Westminster Catechism of Faith, anyone know what the first question is? What is the... What is the chief purpose of man? And the answer to that question is? Yes, Lisa? And it's pretty much in the Westminster to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's what I thought of when Todd gave his answer. I've been reading, and what I found very helpful were the readings of a particular Puritan we don't know a lot about. We don't even know when he was born. We don't know when he died. His name was Thomas Watson. And he wrote, he was a prolific writer, a pastor for about 16, 17 years. And he wrote a considerable amount on this. And he writes, with regards to glorifying God in our lives, we need to get a hold of four truths. We need to get a hold of four characteristics of our four marks of a believer. And one is appreciation, and the second is adoration, and the third is affection, and the fourth that he writes about in the life of a believer to glorify God is submission. And so I have been thinking a lot about these, and I'm giving him credit because I did not think of these three things, but I have taken his thoughts and applied them to the local assembly. So we're going to spend some time, and the time we have left, we are simply going to, what time do we start at? 12? 11? We're over? We got to move. Okay. The other thing I was trying to do today was to be, right. Give me an allowance to get used to this new time change. So, to answer that question, how do we honor the name of Christ and glorify God at MABF? We need to look at our ministries. We need to look at what we do. And everything that we are engaged in, everything we do, whether it be the Sunday school, the youth group, the breaking of bread, the teaching, for those that participate in those meetings, there should be a sense of appreciation, adoration, and affection if we truly want to glorify God in the ministries that we are involved in. So the first, appreciation. This is not the appreciation that I'm talking about after this meeting when someone comes up to me and says, hey, Matt, I really appreciated that, and here is a $300 gift certificate to the keg. Now I would say, thank you very much. I truly appreciate that. That's not the appreciation we're talking about here. The appreciation we're talking about here is what's kind of happening with all our homes in all of York region. They're appreciating in value. That's the appreciation we're talking about here. Not just giving thanks, but assigning value. And so we give God the glory when we value and appreciate His local church. Dan said it. This is not ours. MABF does not belong to us. We did not buy it with our blood. This church, this local assembly, was bought with the blood of Christ. It belongs to Him. We are part of His body. The question is, when you come to function, when you come to engage and participate at MABF, where is your level of appreciation for this for this assembly. And the way I would look at it in my mind is appreciation really determines our priorities. If my career is something that I appreciate in my life, if I give it high value, then there is nothing I will not do to climb that ladder. If I have to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, if I have to take my boss and let him win at golfing, if I value my career above everything else, it is preeminent in my life and it becomes the main thing. And that is really how we give God glory when we are engaged in service and in the local assembly for Him. If this is the number one priority, I would caution you, if you are asked in 6 months to head up or to take part in a ministry at MABF, it is of no value to God just to do it because you feel you have to do it. It's of no value. It's worthless. So I am here up before you this morning because I just like to be in front of people. Or I just feel that if I don't do it, well, Bill and Brian are here, so I guess this falls on me. If I am up here for any other reason than assigning value to this, it is worthless in the sight of a holy God. I am up here this morning because I appreciate this local assembly and the role that I have been given to play in it. And so that is how we, in our ministries, in what you're involved in, give glory to God. If you give it the highest honor. Next thing is adoration. And this is the word Lisa, you keep going to my point here. And so we finally got there. And she is right on the money. At the end of the day, what God wants more than anything, He doesn't want 20 programs. I think the last thing for MABF right now would to be add another ministry, another program to our schedule to put on our calendar. What God wants, whether we meet and have two ministries or 20 ministries or whatever, what God wants is that we ascribe to Him and give Him the worth that He deserves. Adoration is expressed in worship. So, if I am engaged in a ministry, let's say I told the youth this on Friday, the beautiful thing now about coming together in a building where we can meet more often, what I'm excited about is I'm excited that we have more opportunities every single time we get together, we are going to open up the Word of God. I told them, just to get their head in the right place, that there is a time for social, that there is a time for fellowship, but those things, as good as they are in and of themselves, I am not interested in being their youth leader if all we're doing is social activities. It is of no value to me. I hope your kids didn't come home and tell you on Friday night, Matt said he doesn't like being our youth group leader. You didn't get the full context. What I said to them is, if it's just about coming here and playing games and so you guys can hang around, I am checking out. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't have time for that. I would rather be home and enjoy the family I have at home, what God has given me. I don't have time in my... There's no interest, there's nothing in me that wants to come here and spend 2 hours on any given night playing bingo, which some churches do. I am here because in the ministries that I commit myself to, they all must at some point give God the glory and give him the honor. And essentially, that is worship. Worship is ascribing worth. Worship does not only happen when we start opening up the songbook and start singing songs. That's how we've defined it in our contemporary culture. But worship happens when I put money in that offering. Worship happens when I am doing a one-on-one Bible study with someone and leading someone along and explaining difficult doctrines in the Bible. We are ascribing worth to God. The thing about worship, and the thing that helps us with worship, and where I think the church today has fallen off track, is worship is the appropriate response from what God has done with us, and this is amazing to me that we have to say this in this day and age, but the church has by and large offers up man-centered worship. And that is a mistake, and there are people that are going to answer for that. Our worship must be God-centered. You see, this is the problem. It's like Todd reminded us of our own statement of faith. The second thing in our statement, the second way we see our vision, is to build up the body of Christ. And so we do need to come up. We saw it in Acts chapter 2. Those that had need, other believers came along and helped. We have a responsibility to help one another. We have a responsibility to come alongside one another. But it is a mistake to elevate that. If this just becomes a church that is concerned about each other's feelings and everything else, it becomes very man-centered. If all of you come to me after this service and say, yeah, you know, that was okay, but, you know, you there was really no application for me, and I really need you to give me something that I can take home, that I can give me a good week. Oh, that's man-centered. That's man-centered. The focus needs to be completely on God. This assembly in the ministries, everything we do must be God-centered, or we rob God of His glory. Yeah? With me so far? And lastly, and we'll conclude with this, is affection. God is glorified in our church and in our lives when we love Him more than anything else. And again, it's about order. The Lord was asked, what is the most important commandment? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And the second commandment is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. I do not love any of you here nowhere near the love that I have for God. And it should be the same for you. It should be the same for all of us. You see, if you come to me and you are, have a particular thought or you really see us going somewhere, as much as I may want to say yes to you, if I really do not feel that that honors and glorifies the name of God, I can't go along with it. It's just like that. It's just like that. What must be the most important thing in all our understanding is that in all we do, we must be doing it. We must be driven by a love for God. If our service, if our participation, if our ministries, if our practices are not driven and motivated by our love for God, then they do not bring glory to His name. I'm not saying they're bad. There's a ton of work that goes on in this world that is good work. But it is then we become a humanitarian organization. If we want to get engaged and make the lives of those individuals in South Africa better that we heard in this report, and we want to go out and dig wells, and we want to send aid, and we want to send food, and we want to make their life better, improve their quality of life, those are good works. But if it's not motivated by a love for God, it brings God no glory. We are no different than any other humanitarian organization in this world. And so that is what makes us different. So this has been a bit of a different message. I think what I was expecting to give, and perhaps what you were expecting to hear this morning, was a look at all our ministries and why we do, you know, just the specifics of the Lord's Supper, and let's look at the specifics of prayer and what prayer should be like. And that is not the course I chose to go. That is not the choice I chose to go. What I hope I gave you something to think about this morning, what I gave us and what I challenged all of us with, is that important question that we often lose focus. What is our purpose? Why am I here? Why am I here on a Monday when I could be on the golf course cleaning out the toilets? Or why am I teaching Sunday school? Or why am I going to another elders meeting? Why am I going to another visitation? Why am I coming on another Sunday? Why am I doing these things? It is for the sole purpose that God receive the glory. Must be motivated for a heart for God. That is why we do what we do. And like I said at the very beginning, we could all get on the same page. And if we are all working together to achieve that end, the end to glorify God, this stuff that Mark talked about earlier this morning, that oneness, it just happens. We will be of the same mind and the same accord, and we will look, want, as Paul writes in Philippians, if it is truly my desire in this assembly to glorify God in all I think and do and everything I'm involved in, then a byproduct of that is I look out for your interests above my own interests. That's just how it happens. That is how it works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to just consider why we do what we do. And Lord, we just pray now that we will take what we've thought about and give it careful consideration. And for each of us to just reflect this week and think about why we do what we do and why we are here at MABF. And Lord, I just pray that this will be an assembly that's whole desire, that our biggest motivation is to just be engaged in activities and in ministries and in practices that bring you glory and honor the name of Christ. And so, Lord, we confess we get caught up in other things. We confess that as time goes on, this can just be, Sundays can just be another day, and we're just checking in, and it just becomes a matter of attendance. Help us, Lord, and convict us by your Holy Spirit to recognize the privilege that is ours. As Dan said, the privilege that is ours to be part of your work and to just be good stewards. We are simply the clay. Mold us and shape us. Conform us more into the image of your Son. And through what we do and who we are, that we may give you all the glory that is due your name. In Christ's name alone we pray. Amen.